Scripture reading is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 9. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups, and many other things, such things you do. He said to them, All too well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your tradition.
We're glad for each of you being here this morning, and to our God for blessing us with every single opportunity we have to open the Scriptures together and hear Him speak to us through the Word, the message of salvation, and to guide us. As Christians, of course, that's our aim, is to please God in all that we do, to have our hearts open and receptive to the things that He instructs us in regard to in His Word. We know that if we are guided by God, it's going to be through what He reveals in His Word in terms of what He wants us to do and how He wants us to live and all the things that He teaches us so that we might please Him. Of course, as God's people, we know the importance of making sure that we do not, as the Scriptures teach, add to His Word, take away from His Word. These concepts are very important, as well as the concept of authority, and that what we do is something that is authorized by God. Those things are the foundational truths that, in so many ways, separate the church of Christ from the churches of men, the denominational world. And we know that there are so many things that are different. But what we need to understand is that, you know, our differences are not because we just want to be different. Our differences are because we want to follow in truth, with sincerity, with the greatest of devotion and loyalty, the one who died for us, and keep His Word, and in no way violate His will. At this time of year, of course, we're reminded of one such difference that is commonly observed. It's the annual celebration of the birth of Christ. It's not the only thing, of course, that we know in terms of holy days that are observed. You know, among the denominational world, you have the observance of Lent, of Palm Sunday, of Maundy Thursday, of Good Friday, of Easter, of Pentecost, of Advent, and of course, of Christmas. All of these are particular holy days that have been separated from other days and are uniquely the days for remembering or observing, tying them to certain things that we read about in the Bible. And of course, our aim as Christians, again, is to do all things as God's Word teaches. But what we will certainly be able to see is that these particular holy days, though commonly observed in the world today, did not have their origin in the New Testament as taught by Jesus or the apostles, the inspired writers, who direct us today in the things that we are to be practicing as members of the body of Christ. So they have their origin elsewhere. You know, I mentioned the observance of Pentecost. You know, of course, Pentecost, as we read of in the Scriptures, is, you know, Old Testament observance. And yet, it has been carried over by some denominations, but with a different significance, tying it to an observance relating to the Holy Spirit and things relating to things tied to the promise of the Holy Spirit. And so a lot of these types of things then as Christians we see commonly practiced, and the question is, what significance, if any, do these things have to us as members of the body of Christ? As those separate and apart from the denominational world, and as we live and as we seek to do things simply guided by the teachings of Scripture, the Word of God. You know, when you start to look and you start to look at history and the various encyclopedias and what they give, information relating to the observance of Christmas, here is one particular quotation. It just simply says, Christmas Day is celebrated as a major festival, public holiday in countries around the world, including many whose populations are mostly non-Christian. In some non-Christian countries, periods of former colonial rule introduced the celebration. And they give as an example Hong Kong. In others, Christian minorities or foreign cultural influences have led populations to observe the holiday. Countries such as Japan and Korea, where Christmas is popular despite there being only a small number of Christians, have adopted many of the secular aspects of Christmas, such as gift-giving, decorations, and Christmas trees. That's one thing that is important to point out about the observance of Christmas, and that is there are two sides of it. There's the religious aspect of the celebration of Christmas, and then there's the secular aspect of the celebration of Christmas that is very distinct. There are atheists who celebrate Christmas, tying no religious significance to it. And then there are people, just a part of cultures of the world, whose only memory of the celebration of Christmas for them is totally secular. And so it has taken on many different forms. If we today lived in a time where the only celebration of Christmas worldwide was purely religious, then we ought to abstain from any celebration of it whatsoever. But it doesn't have that sole significance today. There are many people, again, all over the world who celebrate Christmas strictly on a secular level. And so it's, you know, the Santa Claus, the Rudolph, or whatever their culture ties to it that doesn't have any religious significance at all. And so that's important to keep in mind when we think about celebrating Christmas just period as Christians. When we don't tie to it religious significance, then that's something that doesn't carry the same, I guess you might say, danger spiritually as saying we're going to celebrate this in a religious sense, as do the churches of man, without any authority from God's Word. Now, Christmas, along with Easter, is the period of highest annual church attendance. Again, I'm looking at a quotation here. This is from Wikipedia. In Catholic countries, the people hold religious processions or parade in the days preceding Christmas. In other countries, secular processions or parades featuring Santa Claus and other seasonal figures are often held. Family reunions and the exchange of gifts are widespread features of the season. Gift giving takes place on Christmas Day in most countries. Others practice gift giving on December 6th, St. Nicholas Day, and January 6th, which is Epiphany. Well, the thing that we always want to be guided by, of course, as we have mentioned, is the Word of God, is Scripture. We think of God's Word being our source of authority, God-breathed Word, as we know, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All that we need to do and say, as God would have us to, is given to us in this book. In both Old and New Testaments, we know there are the warnings given against either adding to or taking away from God's Word, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. This morning, I'd like for us to just briefly look at First of all, departures from the truth. And then secondly, demands of the truth. Because we are, being here this morning, people who love truth. We love God's Word. We seek His instruction. We seek His guidance. We seek His approval. And we can have that when we walk according to the ways of truth. So let's look at some past departures from the truth, because there are things to learn from those past departures. You know, throughout history, there are so many different religious practices that people have engaged in since creation, which are not a part of the commands of God, but rather are tied to human origin. Men felt a certain way. They maybe based what they wanted to do upon something that God said, but then they altered that. They changed it in some way, or they added to it. And so it wasn't something sanctioned by God. Of course, during the first century, you go back and you look at Colossians chapter 2 and look at some of the things that are mentioned there in verses 8 and 9, also verses 16 and 17. There were false teachers that tried to add certain aspects of Jewish ceremonialism to Christianity and bind upon the church things that were part of the past. There was Jeroboam's sin mentioned back in 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning in verse 25. Jeroboam's sin relating to his call upon the people to begin to worship not just God, but they worshiped the images that were created. They did so at other times and in other places, different from the authorized worship that God told them to in His Word. Different object of worship, different time of worship, different place of worship, and all of these things constituted violations of the will of God, departures from the truth. We consider the words of the Spirit through John in 2 John verse 9. He simply said, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ has not God." So we don't want to go beyond what is written. What God has revealed to us, that's what we need to do. Do no less, do no more. Do exactly what God has shown us He wants us to do. We can't improve upon the God-given pattern and invent for ourselves additional ways of doing things or times of doing things, holy days that we would like to add. There are many doctrines where men have transgressed or gone beyond, relating to salvation, doctrines relating to how we worship God, doctrines relating to holy days as well. So many things that men have gone beyond what is written. And tragically, during the centuries since the establishment of Christ Church, there have been many who have both added to, taken away from God's Word by doing just what the religious leaders of Jesus' day did. We mentioned at the beginning, Mark chapter 7, verses 5 through 9, our scripture reading this morning that we had at the beginning of this lesson. It's a parallel account to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verses 3 through 9, where human beings exalted human tradition to the level of God's teaching, of the doctrines and teachings that came from heaven. And we certainly cannot do that and be pleasing to God. Departure from the truth is nothing new, in other words. It's something that has always been and always will be. But we have to recognize when that happens and see the need to have no part of it, to not join along with it. Now, we're not talking about, you know, Christians being thankful for every aspect of Jesus' life, whether it be His birth, whether it be His death, whether it be His resurrection, the various things Jesus did throughout His ministry. We observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, but you know, we don't remember maybe consciously every hour of the day the death of Christ, but we're always thankful for it. and we're always thankful for the birth of Christ. So we have that disposition of heart as Christians. And just because one does not celebrate something along with denominations that came from men doesn't mean we aren't thankful for the birth of Jesus Christ. We always ought to be. It's a proper disposition. And as we reflect upon then the Scriptures, let's talk about the second thing this morning, that is the demands of truth. The demands of the truth. You know, under the Old Testament, the children of Israel had many different holy days that they observed. They understood the significance of those days. They knew when they were to be observed. They knew what was to be involved in those observances because those things were taught to them by God. He showed them specifically what they needed to do. And so you had the Passover, you had Pentecost, you had the Feast of Tabernacles, you had Jubilee and others. And these, again, were observed by the Jewish people, God's nation, because they were sanctioned by God being a part of the old law. Now, these holy days, we know, have been done away with since the old law was fulfilled and replaced by the new. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 15 teaches this, along with Colossians 2 and verse 14 as well. So what we do today then also in like manner must be based upon what we're taught. They did what they were taught. We need to do what we are taught. And that is what we are taught of God, as opposed to men. And we know what Jesus did in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28, when He was with His disciples and He instituted the Lord's Supper, a time for remembering, a time for reflecting upon what Jesus did, His great sacrifice, the giving of His life for us, His voluntary and willing death upon the cross. Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. It was observed by the early Christians. It was taught by inspired writers and corrected when corruptions crept into it, as Paul did in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Because you can take something good and right commanded by God and you can pervert that and change it into something it was not meant to be. So Paul dealt with problems relating to the Lord's Supper. And of course, the regularity with which the Christians observed the Lord's Supper was upon the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7 tells us that they did so. This was the day that Jesus rose from the dead. Now we as Christians can look to our weekly observance of Jesus' death and understand that this is tied to Scripture. But people can't do that with these other holy days that we mentioned at the beginning of this lesson. Because, again, they aren't sanctioned by God. They weren't given, commanded by God, authorized in the Scriptures. And that's significant. Now, as we observe and follow teachings of God's Word, we know that it serves as a pattern for us to follow, that we might walk according to the will of God. What God wants done, He has made known. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 44, we read these words, "Our fathers had the tabernacle." They call it here the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness. "As He appointed, instructing Moses to make it according to the pattern that he had seen." So, the Old Testament tabernacle has often been pointed to, and rightly so, as a symbol of how that God shows us what He desires us to do. There was a structure that God wanted made, and those who complied with God's will considered everything that God said specifically about the tabernacle and how He wanted that tabernacle to be constructed, the components of it, the departments of it, the measurements of it, and the materials that were used to make it. All the details were spelled out. And God has done so as well with all things significant in His Word that He has spelled out with the church, how He wants us to worship, the things that He wants us to do. All of this, again, is set forth in the Scriptures. And as a part of those teachings we have then, that constitutes, in other words, the authorized pattern for the church today. And when we follow that pattern, we please God. We honor Him. We respect His authority. But where we depart from it, either in subtracting from it or adding to it, then we commit sin. We go beyond what is written, either extreme. We don't want to do that. And so, we do have in the Scriptures the account of Jesus' birth recorded there. The wise men came from the east to worship Him, Matthew 2 and verse 2. The shepherds went to see the Christ after word came to them from the angels, Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. The Savior, we know, was worshipped at His entrance into the world and has been worshipped by those who love Him ever since. After these occasions of joyous worship, though, we do not see in the New Testament an annual celebration of the birth of Christ under the few remaining years of the Old Covenant, nor was such practiced by the church under the New Covenant. And so, you know, when you think about the question of the holy days observed, and you know, it's not just this one at this time of year, but any of them. We consider these questions. Were these celebrations taught by Christ? Were they proclaimed by the apostles? Were they observed by the first century church? Can they be found as having their roots, their origin, in the teaching of God through His Word? The annual celebrations or whatever regularity celebrations are held, are they sanctioned by God through Scripture? And when we start looking at the various celebrations, we know that no, they do not find their origin in Scripture as authorized holy days. And so, by what authority and on what basis can anyone practice such things and please God? We need to remember some passages. We find Deuteronomy chapter 12 and verse 32 recording these words, "Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." And the same is repeated at the end of the Scriptures, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 says this, "Do not add to His words, lest He rebuke you, and you be found a liar." Of course, what we know is this, and that is that if God wanted us to celebrate in any particular holy day, to celebrate the birth of His Son or any other event in Jesus' life, He would have commanded that, just as He did the many holy days under the Old Testament, or as He commands us today to observe the Lord's Supper. But the origin, the reason for this season, is that men decided that this would be a good thing. According to a Roman almanac, the Christian festival of Christmas, as it's called, was celebrated in Rome by AD 336. In the eastern part of the Roman Empire, however, a festival on January 6th was when this was commemorated. Wikipedia points out that throughout the holiday's history, Christmas has been the subject of both controversy and criticism from a wide variety of different sources. And so there's just various historical information that's interesting to observe in regard to these things. But the bottom line is that for us as Christians, we need to remember that the celebration, the annual celebration of Christmas and these other holy days that are commonly observed by sincere people in the religious world are holy days without divine sanction, and as such is a tradition or commandment of men, as Jesus deals with in Matthew chapter 15. Remember some important passages. Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, "But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." You have 2 John at verse 9, as we mentioned already, in terms of abiding in the doctrine of Christ, his teaching. What did he say? Do that. Also Galatians chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, where Paul said, "You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain." That related to, again, the Jewish customs and practices that had been a part of past ways that some were seeking to bind upon or attach religious significance to for the church. And those things, again, religiously, were without sanction. And of course, there's Matthew 28, verse 20, where Jesus, in giving the Great Commission, said, "Teaching them." So the people that you baptize, that you lead to me, what do? You teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you. Jesus didn't teach any of these holy days that are commonly observed in the world today religiously. He didn't teach those things. And thus, we ought not to teach them or practice them as well. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, we're reminded, "Whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." And 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God," that is, based upon what God has revealed. We speak those things. And so, as we striving to be faithful Christians, guided by God's Word, as we seek to please Him above all else, there's a few things that it would be good for us to keep in mind. At this time of year, we need to have a clear understanding from Scripture as to why unsanctioned religious practices have never been acceptable to God. We need to be careful not to do anything that would lead others to believe that we are joining in with the churches of men to do things that are not a part of God's teaching. Whether it be how we decorate and send cards or other things that have those religious attachments to them that are a part of the denominational practices. We should teach our children that the celebration of Christmas as a religious holy day doesn't originate with God, and that we dare not go beyond that which is written, that we must hold fast to the pattern of sound words. And we need to always be prepared to give an answer, because people will ask questions. And again, what we seek to do is simply convey God's truth in love and do things based upon our love for God, which demands that we, as His people, simply go by His Word, knowing that if we stick to the revealed truth, not adding or taking away from it, then the spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God will be pleasing to Him and will in no way will be a violation of His Word. This morning, if you're not a part of the family of God, which is the church of Christ, the body of Christ, the kingdom everlasting, we would encourage you to reflect upon the condition of your soul. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ, whose life and death we are ever thankful for. Through Him, we have the hope of living forever in a place prepared for faithful ones. And you can be a part of that number if you'll turn to the Lord in belief, acknowledging His deity, turning away from sinful living, acknowledging your faith and being baptized, where in our burial in water we are symbolically dying with Christ. We come forth to live a brand new life for the Lord, walking according to His beautiful truth, and pleasing Him every step of the way as we seek to imitate His behavior, His conduct, His priorities. But sometimes, inevitably, we slip. We stumble, we sin against Him, we violate His will, but we can always come back to Him. We can always return, and He's always ready to receive us. And if today you need to respond to His call, we invite you to do that as we stand and sing.